What's up, everyone? This is Emmanuel, and you're listening to Crypto Testers, the podcast focusing all things product in the crypto industry. In this episode, I talk to Ray Youssef, the CEO of Paxful. Paxful is a peer-to-peer marketplace, a bit like eBay, but for Bitcoin. So people can directly trade Bitcoin with one another using the payment method they like, set the price they want, etc. Imagine I want to send money to someone in China, but I have no WeChat account. So using Paxful, I could find someone on the platform that is willing to accept Bitcoin and can pay out in WeChat and have my problem solved this way. So basically, you can transact with the financial system in any country using Bitcoin and the Paxful platform. The company is completely bootstrapped, meaning it has never received any investor money, and yet it has grown to over 250 employees and is continuing to grow like crazy. But before we jump into the show, I want to thank our sponsor, Bitwala. Bitwala is Germany's crypto flagship company. They offer users in Europe a full-fledged bank account, including deposit insurance and other things, as well as an integrated Bitcoin and Ethereum wallet. So using Bitwala, you can move your money seamlessly between your euros and your crypto. They keep on adding new features, such as their recently launched Bitcoin interest account, allowing users to earn interest on their Bitcoin. I highly recommend you check them out. I will post a link in the show notes. Hey Ray, welcome to the Crypto Testers podcast.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel. It's my pleasure to be here. I want to apologize to you for missing my previous two appointments. I was going through a divorce. No excuse, but it's definitely going to be in the Paxful movie, that scene.
Yeah, no worries. I've heard a lot about Paxful. Actually, the first time a year ago, I read an article from a Bitcoin researcher called Matt Alborg, in which he called Paxful the most important Bitcoin company you haven't heard of. And the reason he called you that is because in the article, he explains how Paxful is used for remittances by immigrants to send money back to their home country, basically, in ways that the traditional financial system didn't allow. And this made me really take a closer look at Paxful myself, because I've always been a fan of the remittance use case for Bitcoin. So this idea that you can get value out of your country, regardless of capital controls and other obstacles, and send it to anywhere in the world in minutes. And that's really unique to crypto. So I'm really curious to learn more about your company today. Yeah, let's maybe start with you, who you are and how you got to create this company, Paxful.
So my name is Ray Youssef. I'm a first generation immigrant from Africa. My parents came from Egypt to New York City when I was 2 years old with the promise of a better life, because there was no opportunity in Egypt at the time. So they worked hard. I grew up in Hell's Kitchen in New York City, which was a rough neighborhood back in the 80s. And in my parents' newsstand, that's how I learned how to do business. So I go to City College, majored in history, couldn't find a job anywhere. So I started getting into computers. When I was 19, I got my first. It's old, I know, but I dived right into it, taught myself how to code, didn't take any computer classes. I was a history major. And I started working on a startup. And my first one, it wasn't working. It was like Groupon back in like 1999. And there was only SMS messaging. And people didn't even know what SMS was back then. So anyway, I started two companies that were both very successful, and bought my mother a house. Then she got divorced, lost the house, so I had to come back. I thought I was going to hit it big again. I had 11 failures in a row and the prime of my life, and finally ended up homeless in the streets of New York, burned through everything. Met this guy, Estonian guy, his name was Artur, my first Bitcoin meetup at the Bitcoin Center in New York. We became best friends. We tried something, it didn't work. We pivoted, and then we got Paxful. And it was a very hard series of lessons we learned about, you know, how to connect to the people. It all comes down to building things for real human beings. And to do that, you have to be connected to the streets. And when you do that, you can be truly heroic, especially in this space, because heroes are needed. And those are actually the three values of Paxful. Stay connected to the streets, build for people, and be a hero. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Built with Bitcoin. It's our initiative to build 100 schools in Africa, wells, incubators. And we started about 3 years ago. We're making some progress there. So we really live by our values. You know, we're not the smartest guys in the space, but we definitely listen more than anyone else. And we've got the biggest hearts. Is there anything more about me you want to know? Because I could talk forever.
No, that's a good start. And that's really interesting. I didn't know that you attempted to create a company 11 times and failed. That definitely shows some resilience. Good on you.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so how did you get to create Paxful? Like what's the backstory there? Did you see a need for this particular type of exchange? I mean, I guess there was already local Bitcoins on the market at that time.
Yeah, so it's a very human story. So me and my co-founder 6 years ago in New York, we were homeless. We were surfing couches. Like I would take a walk every few nights a week, and it basically means you don't have a home. So how do we end up in that position? Well, you know, that's quite a story, but we didn't have cash flow, right? We couldn't afford a place to live. So one day a friend of mine comes up to me and he's like, hey guys, Ray, you're looking a little haggard there, bro. Did you know that you can actually make huge profits selling Bitcoin for gift cards? I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, this is a gift card. It's now been phased out, but it used to be called PayPal My Cash. And you could sell $250 worth of Bitcoin and get back a $500 PayPal My Cash gift card. And then you would just get a debit card and boom, you had money to spend. All of a sudden it worked. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a scam, but it worked. And I was trading on local Bitcoins. I was trading on Bitcoin Talk. I was trading on Telegram and WhatsApp. And I was making deals happen, and we weren't homeless anymore. So it solved our problems, allowed us to scale up a business and take care of ourselves. And then we wanted to introduce it to everyone else and make quite a few other modifications that would help things move along a lot smoother, especially for normal people. Because, you know, I remember this call I got. I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning one night, and it was this lady frantically yelling at me, I need this Bitcoin. She couldn't even pronounce Bitcoin. She called it Bitcoin. She didn't have a bank account. I'm serious. It was an American white lady, you know, lower middle class, didn't have a bank account, didn't want one. And she needed to put up an ad on a website that only took Bitcoin. And I asked her, how did you buy stuff online before? And she said, oh, I used the Visa, one vanilla Visa gift card. She used a gift card. I thought, okay, what other gift cards are available there? She said, there's Walmart, there's Target, there's this, there's that. So that's where we really started to push gift cards, because it was the only way to onboard the unbanked. You know, it's a digital asset that can be moved around the world and can be redeemed for value. So it was the perfect onboarding for the world. So like the thing about that story is, this lady called me in the middle of the night after going around the internet for 8 straight hours and failing to buy any Bitcoin. She didn't have a bank account and she wasn't technical. You can't buy Bitcoins from Coinbase without a bank account.
Right.
She finally came to us and I didn't hang up the phone in her face. I listened to her. I spent 2 hours with that lady while she was cussing me down the whole time. This poor lady was under extreme pressure, you know? So I understood her situation, but I didn't, you know, that's like the real mainstream user coming to us for the first time. Everyone else ignored them. We were the only company that actually paid attention to them, that actually tried to educate them and actually learn from them. We saw crypto, the product, as a product through their eyes, and it failed completely. And then we tailor-made our entire system to serve those people. That's why people ask, what's the difference between you guys and local Bitcoins? Well, at the core, it's the same product, because it's three things combined. It's a marketplace, meaning an order book. It's a wallet and an escrow service, all those three things combined. And technically that's what we are, but what the African people have showed us is that what Bitcoin's true use case is, what its true killer app is as a universal translator for money. It doesn't necessarily have to be the money itself. It can be the bridge into every financial network on the planet. For example, there are over 2,000 financial networks in Africa. Only 3% of them talk to each other. Welcome Paxful. We use Bitcoin to let you access every financial network in the planet. As long as there is a peer that has one of the accounts that you need access to on our network, you can actually transact on that network. He can pay a bill for you with that, whether it's Alipay or PayPal or a gift card or cash or a bank transfer in some country. It's people-powered finance. It's a people-powered marketplace for money transfers. That's what Paxful is.
Yeah, I heard that as well, that African countries often have very good banking systems internally, but there's almost no way of sending money from, let's say, Nigeria to Kenya or Uganda. And
exactly, so, that's such a great point. And I'll repeat that point so everyone can, so they can get it. In Africa, it's nearly impossible to send money from one country to the country next door. Can you imagine if in the United States it was nearly impossible to send money from Florida to Georgia, the country right across? How advanced would the United States be? And yet Africa has had to deal with this situation for the past like 100 years. It gets even worse. In Africa, there's 14 economies that are still under rule, basically colonization of the French through the African franc, which is about as African as the Federal Reserve is federal. So they're running a total scam over there on these people. So the Africans are faced with all these problems. And that's why when my co-founder and I went there 4 years ago, we said, hey, Africa's going to be the world's first crypto continent. Everyone was like, come on, you guys are crazy. People making, you know, $2 a day are never going to invest in Bitcoin. I mean, that's a true statement, but that's not what Africa is. It's not a bunch of people making $2 a day. And there's other things you can do with Bitcoin besides just investing in it. It can be used as a medium of exchange.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we went quite fast and straight into the topic, which is great. But can we maybe first unpack what exactly a peer-to-peer exchange is? How it works and what sets them apart from a normal exchange like Coinbase or, you know, Kraken, all of these exchanges?
Absolutely. So on exchanges like Paxful, it's usually what's being swapped is cryptocurrency for some form of fiat, whether it's money in someone's Alipay account, cash in someone's bank account, physical cash, a gift card. We support 350 payment methods. So basically someone can go up there and they can make an offer. They can say, hey, I will give you $80 worth of Bitcoin if you give me a $100 Amazon gift card. And then someone will see that offer and say, oh, okay, I've got a $100 Amazon gift card I'm not using. I could trade it in for some Bitcoin. Or maybe they might have a Walmart or a Target gift card or whatever. So then they get the Bitcoin from this guy. They do a trade, right? And a trade is just basically like he'll start a trade with him. The escrow will get funded. The money with Bitcoin will go from the Bitcoin seller's wallet to the escrow. So the other guy knows the Bitcoin is actually there. And that proves that he has the Bitcoin available, because Paxful is the busiest escrow service in the world. And so the other guy can go first, meaning he can give him the Amazon gift card code. Here it is. Try to redeem it. The guy redeems it, says, oh, it's good, releases the Bitcoin. So now this guy has $80 worth of Bitcoin. He can take that $80 worth of Bitcoin and he can turn it into $110 worth of PayPal, because that's the margin on PayPal to Bitcoin trades. So once he has the Bitcoin, he can turn the Bitcoin into anything else. He could turn it into an Xbox gift card by selling it. He could turn it into a cash deposit in Cambodia. So people run their own businesses on Paxful. There are people who have built their own little versions of Western Union using Paxful. Because all it is just a completely open-ended free marketplace of money transfers. Like, hey, I will give you this for that. And Bitcoin is used as the clearing layer to make all this happen. So in its ultimate manifestation, what we're really building is a universal translator for money. And Bitcoin, in this case, the more invisible it is, the better. Because it's honestly, Bitcoin is very complex for normal people to use. You always want to give people the way out of the Bitcoin blockchain as an off-ramp, because Bitcoin is awesome. But at the end of the day, people just want to exchange value. And that is Bitcoin's killer app. It truly is.
What are the reasons, according to you, that these different price premiums exist for different payment methods? Like, why is someone willing to pay $100 worth of Amazon gift card value for $80 worth of Bitcoin? Or someone is willing to pay $120 with PayPal for $100 of Bitcoin?
It's a great question. It all depends on the market. It all depends on people's situations. It all depends on the corridors that exist. For example, Nigeria to China. So we created this corridor over 3 years ago, and it was Chinese gamers that wanted gift cards so they could play games, buy, you know, all kinds of stuff active in gaming. And they basically got connected with the Africans, and the Africans found a way to get these gift card codes, usually from America, through friends or family living there. And they would start to use it as a form of remittance. They would start to use it as a form of arbitrage. So the question is, why are the premiums so high in some cases? This is really the question. So let's look at PayPal, for example. The average premium for PayPal is 30%. The question is, why would anyone get 30% less Bitcoin using their PayPal account when they could just, I don't know, go to Coinbase and buy it with their bank account for 2 or 3 or 4, whatever percent it is? And the answer is really convenience. Some people just value convenience that much. Some people don't want to do huge trades, right? They just want to get things done quickly. Some people will look at a gift card trade. It's like for Nigerians, for example, in that article that Matt wrote, they were telling their friends and family in the States, hey, buy me $1,000 Amazon gift card. Give me the scan of the code and the cash receipt. They would go on a Paxful. They would sell it to a guy in China, get back 80, 70 bucks worth of Bitcoin. Take that, sell it to a guy in Nigeria and say, hey, pay me for this Bitcoin by transferring money to my bank account over here from your bank account. It would happen instantly. He would make a few percentage points on the arbitrage since it costs a little more to buy Bitcoin in Africa. And he would get money in his, he basically turned a gift card in America into money in his bank account in Nigeria within, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
sometimes it's worth the price, you know.
It's really fascinating. And
for most of these people, Western Union would be like 20% anyway. Plus, they'd have to go wait on a line at the Western Union and all of that. So at the end of the day, it makes a lot of sense.
Bitcoin really shows how bad the old financial system works or worked for some people, you know, that you mentioned without bank accounts or in certain countries. So that nowadays they use this, although the system also isn't like perfect or like takes a couple of steps, it's still better than the old way of doing it. So quite revealing.
If people knew how like bad the banking system really is, like the money is not equal. Like if someone has $1 billion in Nigeria, good luck trying to get that money into Europe or America, get the banks here to honor that African money. It's a very political game. It's very selective. You have to ask for permission and you have to be blessed with permission just to be able to move money. That's how bad the system is. It's segregation in the final system. Financial system is basically what we're dealing with. You put it perfectly in the beginning. International banking network in Nigeria is excellent, but they're cut off from the rest of the entire world, especially the Western world.
Do you think peer-to-peer exchanges are only interesting for citizens in countries where no, let's say, good normal exchanges exist? Or do you think they are also interesting in Western countries?
Well, we have a lot of users from Western countries. America is our second biggest market, and we're starting to see the United States go a lot more peer-to-peer right now, especially with what's happening over there. People are beginning to realize that peer-to-peer is the way to do everything, as much as humanly possible, especially with their money. So, but in general, the West doesn't need peer-to-peer as much as the rest of the world. If you have an American bank account, you can pretty much access the entire world of money. But there's a lot of our users that are our vendors from America. Like they will start their own businesses there, some of our biggest ones. So as far as like power users, yes, there's quite a few in the West. As far as like buyers that need these services on a day-to-day basis in the West, not really. It's mostly people who travel, like me, for example. If I go to Kenya and I need to get some shillings, it's hard. The ATMs there, you know, they're not very good and the airport's very expensive. So I'll just go on the Paxful. I'll put up an offer and say, hey, come deliver cash to my hotel as Kenyan shillings, and I'll give you back this much Bitcoin at this price, market price, which is a huge deal in Africa. Right? Usually it's 6 to 10% over or more. And boom, I get Kenyan shillings, he gets Bitcoin. So our user base is very different depending where on the world it is. But we have identified what the core use cases of Bitcoin are, besides gray markets and speculation. And we have products on each one of those major use cases.
Yeah. And in Africa, you're saying you're growing a lot there. Do you think people are mostly buying Bitcoin there as, you know, an investment, or because they're running a little business on top of Paxful, or is it like for remittances? What do you think is the most dominant use case?
It's a great question. So besides gray markets and speculation, which we don't deal with, you know, we're not like the gray market is almost gone now. Like it's all white stuff now. The little gray that's left, you know, we don't really allow on our platform. Like we ban dark market IPs, blockchain addresses, etc. Speculation is toxic. We don't believe in casinos. You know, we're not Binance, right? We're some of them focus on real use cases, and they are payments, e-commerce, remittance, wealth preservation, and social good. Those five. So remittance is a big one, and our users have figured out a lot of things there. E-commerce is another. We're actually building a product called Pay with Paxful, which is like a checkout, just like PayPal, but people, merchants can basically accept any payment method in the world that Paxful supports, and we use Bitcoin as the clearing layer to make that happen. It's actually a brilliant invention. You're going to see it soon. As far as wealth preservation is really big in Africa right now, especially in Nigeria, because Nigerians, you know, the Naira has lost 60% of its value in the last 4 years. And many Nigerians are anticipating it's going to lose even more value, because as the United States prints money, all the other currencies, fiat currencies of the world, start printing money to match, but they get devaluated, inflated, and the US dollar doesn't. Usually. So that's what's coming. The currency wars are only going to ramp up. It's not just Zimbabwe and Venezuela. Other countries are going to follow. In this case, people always prefer USD. They prefer the US dollar to anything. But they know that Bitcoin is a path to that. And it's often better than the alternative, like say, for example, in Venezuela. And, you know, just payments in general are the other big use case, especially in markets like Venezuela, Lebanon, where a deflationary attack has rocked the country. So every country in the world, every market scores differently on the seven major use cases of Bitcoin. And the last one is social good. And we are making inroads there as well. We're currently building school number 3 in Kenya. School number 4 will be in Nigeria. And yeah, we have 100 schools to go, so 96 more to go. But we're having a great time doing it.
Nice. Must be a lot of fun doing that.
Of course.
Yeah. That sounds also pretty interesting, this pay with Paxful. So I guess the idea is that a user on an online shop can pay with PayPal or a gift card, and then in the background, that money goes to one of the sellers on Paxful, and the Bitcoin then goes to the merchant. Is that approximately how it goes?
Yeah, so basically you'll go onto the merchant's website and say, hey, I want to buy some, you know, these video games, right? And it'll say, okay, there's an option called Pay with Paxful. You click that and say, how do you want to pay for these video games? Do you want to use Bitcoin? Do you want to use a cash deposit? Do you want to use your Paxful balance? Do you want to use a gift card? Do you want to use a bank transfer? Do you want to use an online wallet like Alipay, whatever? So they go through the whole process there in a very simplified way. They might have to KYC with Paxful as well, depending on the merchant's requirements and the tolerances, the amount they want to pay for. Mm. And basically what happens, we find them a peer on Paxful that will take whatever payment method they have, and that peer will turn it into Bitcoin. And then from there, we just take that Bitcoin and turn it into Tether or turn it into money in the merchant's bank account. So the merchant can get Bitcoin, or they can get, you know, just US dollars to their PayPal account. Basically, the merchant can accept any form of payment now and just get money to the bank. So we open them up to the entire emerging world.
Gotcha. And is that process fast? Because I guess the seller, in the moment I initiate the transaction, the seller would need to be online as well to, like, you know, release the Bitcoin in almost real time.
Yeah, so we'd have to link them up clearly with someone that was online, someone that was responsive, someone that was very good at handling their payment method. We would automate the transfer as much as possible. We just automated our entire gift card flow. So we can just put in a gift card code. Someone will check it automatically. And boom, if it's good, the Bitcoins are released. And then just the trade happens. Everything is done.
It's almost like a perk for good sellers as a reward that, you know, you'll bring additional volume to them. They can participate in this other source of volume, basically, if they have good ratings and if they are online a lot, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're building a web of trust. There's a reputation system. It's a marketplace. So there's, you know, building marketplaces is always challenging. It's always about balance.
Yeah. This actually brings me to my next question, which is, as you mentioned, it's a marketplace. So it's really important that there's liquidity on the sell side. So the buyers, when they go on your platform, they have an offer for the payment method that they want to use and for the currency that they want to use, and that there's actually, you know, some competition also among sellers, so that the price is more or less in line with the rest of the market, etc. So how do you get, like, more or less sophisticated sellers on the platform?
It's all about community. It's all about community. This business is all about people. It's a people-powered marketplace for money transfers. So when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with money, trust becomes very important. And then trust, you know, it only really works within a community, because people have to understand these repercussions for being dishonest. But once you have these communities, these marketplace communities, you have possibly the most powerful thing on the planet, because you have liquidity in markets and you're giving them access to the entirety of the outside world. So we have something called the Paxful Peers Program, which is, it's quite successful now. We have some of the most amazing peers ever, and our peers are educators, evangelizers, traders on Paxful, mentors. They're showing people how to start their own businesses on Paxful, how to emulate their success. And, you know, it's, when I tell people this, like, oh, is this another scam? Like, no, you're just learning how to sell lemonade. You're learning how to start your own money transfer business. You know, it's not about investment. You can start with $50, but you move it around and turn it into $55 by solving a problem for someone. I'll give you an example. Those examples are how we learn. A fellow in South Africa named Charlie has turned Paxful into his own little version of Western Union, helping Nigerian migrant workers in South Africa send money back home to their mamas in Nigeria. So he'll tell them to deposit rands cash into Charlie's South African bank account. Charlie will take that rand, buy Bitcoin with it on Paxful, and then he'll take that Bitcoin and sell it to a guy in Nigeria and say, hey, send money to this guy's mother. So doing that, he manages to undercut Western Union by half and to still make a good profit, especially on the arbitrage. So all he did was remove away the technical complexity for those Nigerian migrant workers using two peer-to-peer trades on Paxful. He managed to solve their problem nearly instantly or same day for half the price.
Yeah, it almost makes me think of like the gig economy, Uber, you know, how it enables entrepreneurs to start with one car and then they buy a second car and have someone drive it for them and just like build a business around it. Or even eBay or Amazon, like all these marketplaces have allowed people to build small businesses. And it sounds a lot like Paxful is doing the same thing.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest differences between us and an exchange. If you're like playing on an exchange like Binance, you better have money to lose because you're playing against the market. But on Paxful, you're building a clientele, you're building a user base and repeat customers because you have a repeat business. You're providing a financial service. That's the key. That's what makes it the most powerful invention, I think, probably in the past 100 years. Not just because of all the problems that we have, but because when you actually give people a way to use their money without having to ask for permission, you open up intercontinental worldwide business for real. Not just between, you know, a billion white people, but between 7 billion humans on the planet, regardless of where they are. What could be more powerful than that?
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your learnings expanding on the African continent? I don't know if you had any experience in that continent before, but yeah, can you share some learnings there?
Sure. So our first value is to stay connected to the streets. And, you know, I'm African. I was born there. I grew up in New York, but I've been to Africa many times. And every time I go there, I'm always stunned by the same thing. Besides the food and the fact that, you know, Nigerian weddings are like the most amazing events on earth, it's the entrepreneurs. You know, the greatest natural resource of Africa is all these amazing young people that they have running around who are such, like, so ambitious, have a great business acumen. The hustle is real over there. And there's so many brilliant people. So when I go there, I'm always impressed by that. You know, the real face of Africa, as I see it, is all these ambitious young people ready to move forward. And they all have lessons to teach us. They're all working on business. Like, the fintech wars are happening in Africa now like you wouldn't believe. Just think about it. It's a market of 1.2 billion humans, about to be 2 billion. 80% of them are relatively very young, actually. So, and they're all mobily connected. It is literally the biggest opportunity in human history. The team that does this will basically have a market of 1 billion mobily accessible, like, people ready to, like, emerge on the world map. So it's not something that one company can do by itself. It's something that we need a lot of people to come in. But we need to come in with a product focus. And that's one of the biggest problems in crypto. There's not enough product people in crypto. At Paxful, we're product guys and gals. We're the ultimate product guys. If you're a product guy and you're listening to this, join our team. You will not be disappointed. You will level up. The only way to move forward is by giving people products focused on specific use cases and sometimes even specific corridors. And we can use Bitcoin in the right way. You can build them on top of the Paxful marketplace. That's the key. And with Africa, you have to understand, like, even M-Pesa tried to go to South Africa from Kenya and they flopped. This is the biggest company in Kenya, Safaricom, that tried to go into another African economy and it failed miserably. Why? Because if you go into Africa with this mindset, okay, I'm going to conquer, I'm going to penetrate the market, you know, you're thinking like a rapist. The African people are not going to respond to you. They've had enough of that BS. They can smell it from a mile away, even amongst their own. So you have your narrative has to be like authentic. And we're like really the only guys in the space that are actually authentic. Like we actually care about Africa. We really do. And we understand the people there because we've made so many millionaires in Africa. Like Paxful has literally made people's lives change. And they have given us so much information. I'm the CEO. I do customer service every single day. So does my co-founder. Again, because we need to stay connected to the street. And that's honestly the biggest advice I can give any entrepreneur listening to this right now. These Paxful values, stay connected to the street, build for people, be a hero through teamwork. This is the way to live. This is the way for us to create this whole market.
Do you mean millionaires from just running the business on Paxful or people who bought Bitcoin yes. really early on Paxful and from the price increase in Bitcoin?
People running a business on Paxful. There's people, okay. This guy's running bots that do all this trading on Paxful, just like simple trading bots that automate things for them. And, that's amazing. And they make like six figures of profit a week. It's crazy. It's like there are real millionaires, and not just, you know, in America and Europe, but a lot in Africa, even more in China, actually. China is, I went to China last year to Guangzhou, and I met all these Paxful millionaires, and the stories were amazing. These three guys walked up to me. They were so well-dressed, I thought they were gangsters. They told me, we were unemployed, just graduated from high school in our village 3 years ago. We got on Paxful, started selling gift cards. And now we have 60 people working for us. And their story was so beautiful. And they gave us a huge page of just like improvements we can make to the system. It's all about community. And we have some amazing success stories already.
And how do you market this product in Africa? Is it mostly like word to mouth or digital
it's
marketing?
It's all word to mouth. No, we don't. Paxful really doesn't have a marketing department. That's going to change. It's all been word of mouth up until now, and people that have heard about how we're giving back to the community, building schools, wells, you know, scholarships. That's been pretty much it. Also, the strength of our product. Like, we work hard on our product. We're always, iterating, you know, listening to our users. Everything we want, we give them. People respect that, and that's why we've grown organically up until now. Paxful hardly spends any money at all. You're not going to find us advertising on Google or Facebook ads or Instagram or anything like that. We are just all real value. And we have hardcore marketing. Our marketing is only hardcore first, meaning built with Bitcoin. Let's build schools. Let's build wells. Let's give back to our community. Making fancy commercials is not our thing.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about regulation. I know that P2P exchanges have this advantage that, like, technically they can offer the services anywhere, like in any country, because they don't need a local bank partnership, for example, because they don't sell the Bitcoin themselves, or you don't even need an office or anything. So technically you can open your services anywhere. But is that the reality also, or do you, if you start having like volumes in Kenya, do you have to like talk to the governments and get some licenses, or is it really pretty frictionless?
Well, the beautiful thing about the peer-to-peer model is that we don't have to go to any markets. You know, we don't have to be there physically, right? Our people, our peers on the ground, they take care of that. So the only way to stop Paxful from operating in the marketplace is, outlaw people from dealing with Bitcoin or using Paxful. But And the only place where we're applying for licenses is the United States. We're federally licensed in the United States. We're going for all our MTLs. We're actually leading peer-to-peer as far as compliance in the world. And what we've learned is that, you know, sometimes some states don't think the Paxful's business model requires an MTL. But we're still applying anyway because we want to eventually be, you know, regulated in every single region in the world where we operate. not to protect us, but to protect our vendors. Some of them might be considered MTLs. So we're trying to provide as much clarity as possible on this, because it's still a very, very fuzzy area. And we're working with every government is open to working with us, including the United States government, including the African governments. I was already supposed to be in Africa by now, and I was planning to be there for 6 months. COVID slowed things down, but we will be engaging as many friendly governments as is necessary. We're open to that. You know, we want to essentially, like, it's not just the governments as well. It's also the banks in Africa are starting to figure out, wait a minute, everyone's starting to use Bitcoin and services like Paxful. We don't want to get left behind. So the dialogue is starting to emerge.
So there's no country where you had to go or you had a severe clash with some government officials or anything?
No, not yet. I do remember years ago, local Bitcoins banned Germany for a reason I'm not entirely sure of. But no, it hasn't happened. But we're looking to work with everyone. I mean, Paxful is a legitimate company, one of the best compliance teams in the world. We actually have the lowest amount of black or gray market transactions, like 10 times lower than local Bitcoins. We've actually, you know, blocked all those addresses. Half of 1% of the trades on Paxful have issues. Only half of 1%. That's out of six figures of trades every single day. Paxful is one of the busiest escrow services in the world. But the biggest challenge by far, Emmanuel, is fraud. You know, what we're doing is we're going to the most challenging markets in the world, like China, Nigeria. And we're giving people complete financial access to every network in the world. It becomes an incredible challenge, a challenge that, you know, PayPal didn't want, Coinbase didn't want, governments don't want, banks don't want. But we're going into that. Like, we are the guys that go into the trenches that no one else in the world dares go to. That's the kind of guys we are. And that's why we have success, because, you know, we're going to the places where our work will have the most impact.
Can you give an example of what fraud looks like on Paxful? So is it someone buying Bitcoin with stolen credit cards, or?
There's different types of fraud. If someone is like using a stolen credit card, okay, yeah, he's defrauded someone outside of Paxful by taking their card. He's defrauding the person he's dealing with on Paxful by giving them bad money, essentially. There's another, like, all, there's so many different kinds that are possible in P2P. Basically, every form of fiat in the world is reversible with enough political will or trickery, meaning that that side of the transaction is very hard to protect. So any scammer dedicated enough, uses social engineering well enough, etc., could scam. There's a type of scamming called ripping, which is very problematic and very hard to stop. And that's when someone gives a guy, like on Paxful, their gift card code, which might be good or bad. And then, you know, the vendor checks it. It's good, but he doesn't give him the Bitcoin. He claims it's bad because so many of the gift cards that people give are bad. But sometimes people just find these gift cards on the internet and they just try their luck putting it on Paxful. What it does is it creates an imbalance, especially because we have no way to verify the balance on a gift card, because 98% of all gift card programs in the world go through two American companies, Blackhawk and Incom. And they do not share their ledger with anyone. There's a little embargo on the gift card balances. And that is tremendously harmful to the people of Africa that trade on Paxful with gift cards, especially them. So we're trying to find a way around that right now. It's a massive challenge. You know, that's a huge challenge. KYC is another huge challenge, which I could talk about for hours probably, but it's one of the biggest obstacles for crypto to get to the emerging world, because we have to, you know, the African people don't mind KYCing. They truly want to KYC. Like, for example, in Nigeria, you can't get a SIM card unless you give a biometric fingerprint scan. Seriously, it's wow. Like that. It's just that the KYC is not localized enough to get to those people. Anyway.
Yeah, talking about KYC, I know that maybe a year ago or something, people were saying that peer-to-peer exchanges were one of the best options to buy Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies in a privacy preserving way, because when you go to like Coinbase or something, you always have to KYC yourself, and then you pay with your bank account or your credit card, so Coinbase will always know who you are. But P2P exchanges were like an exception to that, because you didn't always have to KYC yourself and you could pay with cash or a prepaid debit card or something. So it was possible to buy Bitcoin without anyone really knowing your identity. Is that still true or has it changed?
Well, on Paxful, I mean, we require KYC for $1,500. We go above $1,500. For cash, it's $50. So you could do it on Paxful, but by and large, we do not cater to the people that want to be invisible. We are trying to help the people that are invisible, like the 4 billion invisible people, become visible. That's really our mission. And we see that as the original mission of Bitcoin. I know some cyberpunks might disagree, and I do value my privacy, although I honestly believe in this day and age, there really is no privacy anymore. But we're far more focused on helping the people that are invisible become visible than vice versa.
But I think that's the great thing about Bitcoin is that it's an open technology. So, you know, you have different businesses catering to different audiences. And it seems like in Africa, piracy is not so much a concern, but more like more in Western countries, no?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Given that Paxful is so much about remittances, are you thinking about adding new assets to the platform, such as stablecoins, so like dollars on...
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Any day now, we'll be adding Tether to Paxful because it's something that's needed, something that people... Honestly, I think Tether is going to have more P2P volume than Bitcoin because people just don't want to deal with the price of Bitcoin. The volatility and price discovery in Bitcoin is really... It's what's been slowing us down from the start. And that's why speculation is so toxic, because it creates this volatility, which really is a major showstopper for momentum and organic growth, because it just makes things too hard.
Yeah, because something like Tether has the same properties as Bitcoin, can be transferred across borders, but as you say, it's stable in value. So I could send dollars to someone in... or stable coins to someone in Argentina, and that person could immediately turn around and sell it on Paxful against Argentinian currency. So I think that will really accelerate the use of, well, crypto assets for remittances. And maybe it could also have a net positive effect on Bitcoin, actually, because...
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we're seeing is true, real organic growth now. Across, especially in the emerging world, like Africa is becoming the crypto continent. Africa is leading all Bitcoin searches. Africa is leading all volume and user growth on Paxful and other P2P exchanges. You know, what we predicted is actually coming because the African people just want to move forward, and they're finally seeing a path forward. They're finally starting to see Bitcoin not just as an investment or speculative instrument, but literally as a means of exchange in their financial toolkit.
Yeah, that's a nice way to come to an end. Could you maybe just share what is in it for the future of Paxful? Like what are your plans for the next year or two?
We launched some of the most amazing products crypto has ever seen. So just putting out the flare, shooting in the air, and letting everyone know if you're a product guy or gal, reach out to us. We are always hiring builders. We have like 11 projects here at Paxful that need someone to work on them. We have like 7 projects in the works right now about to come up. But all our products are going to work because we don't dream up stuff from our heads. We get everything, all of our ideas from the street, from the man and woman on the street. We test things out, and each one of these products could be a major game changer, not just for crypto adoption, but for fintech and especially the emerging world. So if you're listening to this, you want to work with the best product team on the planet, and I really do mean that, reach out to Paxful. Go to paxful.com/careers. You can hit me up, Ray Paxful, on Twitter, on ray@paxful.com, Ray Paxful on Telegram as well. I am ready to engage all the most awesome product and awesome business development people around the world. Was Paxful is looking to scale holographically to create these community centers around the world, especially the emerging world. We're going to be investing, especially in Africa. We're going to be bringing up Bitcoin centers, just like the one where I met my co-founder 7 years ago. We're going to be building them in Africa, in Latin America, Southeast Asia, as a place where people can get together, learn, network, educate, and do business.
Cool. Thanks so much, Ray, and congrats for all the work you do for Bitcoin adoption in Africa. It's really cool.
Thank you. Our third school is going to open up in a month. I'm inviting, I don't know about, hopefully COVID will clear up by then, but every Paxful grand opening, the entire Bitcoin community has my open invitation. Come join us, see how we roll, see how good it feels.
In which country is that?
Kenya, and then Nigeria. So that's within a few, like a month or two.
Yeah, it's actually on my bucket list. I absolutely want to go to Africa. Let's see. Maybe I make it.
God willing.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you have any comment or question, please reach out on Twitter or on our newly launched Telegram group, which I will link in the show notes.